Hi, this is Jean-Jacques Taylor, and you're listening to Jock Talk. This is a podcast where I talk about the Cowboys, the team I've covered as a beat writer, columnist, TV insider, and radio host for 28 years. I'll also talk about the NFL and the things I love, working out, streaming, food, and all things Dallas. My boy Big Joe and the Big Rig, one of my oldest friends, produces the show and occasionally chimes in with his thoughts on the Cowboys. After all, he's a lifelong Cowboys fan, and he played high school, college, and semi-pro football. Welcome to Jock Talk, where sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a day, or a month from now. I'm going to give you the truth straight. No chaser. Glad to have you aboard. Let's get it. Welcome to episode 101. That's a highway, a freeway, a roadway in L.A.
That's a 101-yard return by Brian McCain. Interception return by Brian McCain. Boy, I'm doing that research. I'm on that.
Oh, I'm impressed because it's a late night. The Mavericks. Took one on the chin tonight, 117-95, but me and Big Joe and the Big Rig stayed up to talk about it, so we hope you're prepared to be entertained and dazzled for as long as we get down on the show tonight. The Stars, in the midst of blowing a 3-0 lead, are in overtime with Colorado, so maybe they'll win before we finish this show, or maybe not, but they're in overtime right now. They just went to intermission for the overtime, so we'll see how much they play before we call it a night. We do like to remind y'all that if you're ever involved in an accident, somebody else's negligence, whether it's an 18-wheeler, whether it's medical malpractice, or whether it's a workplace incident, if somebody else's negligence has caused you some harm, what you need to do is call 972-934-8900 and say, "Hey, here's my situation. What do you think?" And if Grinning Law brings you on as a client, hip, hip, hooray for you. It's been a great day. And that's because they take care of everything for you so you can focus on two things and two things only, healing and renewal. Get your mind right, get your body right, and get your life back. That's what they want you focused on. Now, you do have to understand, consultation is free. Phone call costs you nothing to pick up the phone and tell them your situation. And if they ride with you, they ride with you. And that's, to me, a beautiful thing. They take care of every single solitary thing. So all you got to focus on is healing and renewal. I mean, seriously, if you need a doctor, they find your doctor, set up the appointment, all you got to do is show up. If you need a specialist, same deal. All you got to do is show up because they'll find one and book the appointment for you. So all these things are made possible by Grinning Law. They care about you. They walk you through what can be a long, tedious, intimidating process. And that's why if you're ever involved in an accident because somebody else's negligence has caused you some harm, give them a call, 972-934-8900. They will change your life. Dog, them Dallas Mavericks got, shall I say, dogged. It was a weird game. They were never really in it to me. Even when it was close, I think I sent you a text that said everything seemed so hard for them that it feel like they down double digits even though they down 6. They made a little run in the third quarter, but they were never in the game. Blown out. It's the biggest postseason loss. I'm not really tripping over the first one. We'll see how they regroup and make adjustments and get ready for the second one. But for those of you who thought for some reason, well, the Mavericks are playing great, it's just Oklahoma City, you now know that the Oklahoma City Thunder is for real, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's a weird, like I said the other day, it's a weird team, man. I mean, you got 6'8 shooting guard, you got 6'5 point guard, you got 6'4 stocky ass small forward, and you got 6'5 should be a guard, power forward, and a skinny ass center. All that leads to a lot of mismatch, a lot of matchup problems, a lot of quickness on Oklahoma part. And it just threw the Mavericks off. I was thinking about what rust means. You know, when you're an older team, that rest can be rust. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You come back rusty. When you're a young team, like the Thunder are, what's their best player is, what, 25 years old? You know, and they got a lot of young cats. They don't get rusty. Them guys bounce off the walls until it's time to play. And that's what it looked like tonight. I think if they'd have played an older team, if they'd have played the Clippers in the second, you know, in the second series, and then it would have been some rust. But them cats was ready to ball, and they was at home, and they showed you.
Yeah, I mean, it was they separated themselves in the third quarter. It was they were tied at 23 at the end of the first quarter. But again, the flow just never looked right to me. They were down by 9 at halftime. Yep,
I agree.
63-52. They came back and started off the third quarter strong. Got within a bucket, I think.
Yep,
on a Kyrie 3. Yep. And then, you know, the Thunder spurted on them again. And it was never really it didn't feel like a ball game after that because they were down 10 going into the fourth quarter. And then, you know, the Thunder pulled away from there. I think when you look at it off the rip, it was going to be and I've talked about this quite a bit, you know. Yeah, you got great defense, but can you deal with Kyrie and Luka? And I tell you what, Kyrie was a non-factor the first three quarters. First two and a half quarters. And Luka was pretty much it's rare that you see him control like this throughout the game. 6 for 19 from the field, 19 points, probably his playoff low, 1 for 8 on threes. Couldn't really get anything to fall. They double teamed him a lot, took the ball out of his hands, made him a passer. Did the same thing with Kyrie Irving early. And I don't know about you, dog, but Luka never really found a rhythm and never really did the Luka things that we used to seeing him do.
Well, Luka is a bully. And bullies, you know, you got to – Luka don't jump. Luka ain't fast. But his base is so strong that he can bully his way into the paint. His movements is based on the strength of his legs to me. And right. That's where he was hurting at. He never settled down into that bang off you and deliberate – type of Luka stuff. You know, he never settled down to that because he didn't have no legs because he was already injured, and then he got injured again, and it's like, well, Luka is down, and I'm going, well, he never was the same. He grimaced a lot.
Right.
Those shots are a little short when you don't have them legs, and that was a lot, you know, he was pushing too much with his arms a little bit. When you don't got no legs, that's what happens. Are you tired? That's what happened. Them shots, all them shots that he hit, think about the step back and the threes that he hit before he got injured again. You know, before he got injured in that game, he was tearing the ass up. But once he got hurt, he wasn't. It wasn't no more. And then I don't know if Kyrie was ready yet, but I know I was pissed 30 minutes into the game. Kyrie got 7 shots, and Gaffer got 15. Oh, we got a big three now. Yeah. We got big three now. What we got?
I think it's the way they played. I think they took the ball out of his hands. And, you know, sometimes when you're trying not to force it and you're trying to make the right basketball play, that ends up happening. Like, I don't think that'll happen in game two. I think they'll tweak some things and figure some things out, and they'll end up getting their fair share of shots. But you're right. Gafford ended up 5 of 12. And see, the interesting thing is, to me, it seemed like they got enough. P.J. Washington had scored 10 points. Gafford had 16. Josh Green had a couple threes. He had 11. Normally, that's kind of enough for their secondary guys to score, but this time it wasn't.
It's enough. I saw that. I was looking at Josh Green because I thought, man, if I go down there and see him miss another wide-open three, I'm going to scream. But he did hit 3 for 8, and that is enough. If you got your regular guys doing things, because 11 points from Josh Green ain't nothing if Kyrie don't do what he do. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you get 89 points out of that. You know, you get 90.
No, you're right, because during the playoffs, they've averaged 56 points a game, Luka and Kyrie. And then tonight, what, they get 39? So that's like 16 under their average.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no way those other guys could make up that kind of difference.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, when I saw that Kyrie wasn't shooting the ball and then he tried to get hot, you wait. Even if he was blistering Kyrie, even if he scores 30 points, it's too late. It was too late. And I think let me say this first of all, I'm not panicking because it's really about how you make them adjustments, you know. It's really, are you going to make adjustments and are you going to step up? Are you going to, Yeah, because that's what I like about baseball and basketball. It's a series. It's not one game.
Yeah.
So you can get back in it real easy. You can make adjustments, you know, 30 points over here and a loss over here and a 30-point win at home. Yeah, it swings either way. But, man, if I got to go through 30 minutes of Kyrie not shooting the ball again, I'm done with the ass. You know, I'm just like, man, what we got? We got two superstars or we got one? Because when Luka got hurt, he should have deferred more to Kyrie, and later on he did, but it was kind of too late because Oklahoma was rolling by then. And Jalen Williams, this is the new basketball. I keep bringing this up, but he's 6'5", man. And he's not a big dude, but he playing the four. And there's no way P.J. Washington can stay with him. That's crazy. Nah, you would have never got away with that. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, no. Everybody was big at the four.
No, the game has changed. And then when look at it, you know, I don't think a lot of people have paid attention to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Even though he finished third in the NBA in scoring. And he's been getting he's in the conversation for the MVP. But I don't think a lot of people, because he plays at Oklahoma City, because this is their first year being good, they haven't been on national TV a lot. Much like Minnesota. So you haven't really seen him and watched his game. That dude brought it, man. He made 11, 13 free throws. I think he went to the free throw line 12 times in the first half. Finished up with 29 points, 9 assists, 9 rebounds. And like I said, went to the free throw line 13 times. Let the game come to him. Didn't really force anything. And he was 8 for 19 from the field, but you didn't notice because every time he looked up, he was at the free throw line.
Yeah. That's what I was saying the other day. He's an all-around player. If you play 2K, you know, Jay. You know who he is. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Madden player. You know, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good at Madden. I'm terrible at 2K, but I play 2K like 9,000 and like year-round. So, yeah, I know who he is. I done been whooped by him a couple times, and I can't shoot with him, so. There you go.
And then you got when you compare him again to Luka, who was 6 of 19 from the field, 1 for 8 from three. He was even bad at the line, 6 for 10. He had 9 rebounds. I think he had 9 assists, 6 rebounds. But he never really got into a flow. Credit Oklahoma City's defense for that. And that is, as we know, is more than a notion. Luka can take over a game. He's one of the best offensive players in the league, obviously. Led the league in scoring with 34 points. And you hold Luka to 19, you done some things. Whether he injured or whether he's not, like I said, holding him to 19 is a yeoman's man's job.
I think he would have been okay if he don't get hurt the second time. He don't get the second injury where he rolled his ankle a little bit. I think he would have been okay. You can only adjust your game on the fly so much when you hurt.
Right.
You know, you can. One injury allow you to still be Luka. Two injuries, well, you know, that's why I say you start deferring to Kyrie. Let Kyrie do his thing early. You know, because, man, that dude, when he started heating up. Another thing I thought about the game was I thought they out, you know, we were quicker. The Mavericks were so much quicker. Than old ass Clippers, right?
Yeah.
They were so much quicker. Ain't no James Harden on Oklahoma. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no Westbrook on Oklahoma. You know,
right.
There's no injured Kyrie. So we were quicker than them. Not tonight. Like I say, them young boys was rested. And they was bouncing off the walls. And they came in there and did the damn thing.
That's only the fourth time this season. Lucas had fewer than 20 points in the game.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
So that was it. That was one thing. So you had the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander won the Luka matchup today in the MVP contestants. And then the other thing is, you know, the Mavericks have been one of the best teams in the NBA at taking care of the ball. Only averaged 12 turnovers a game.
Yeah.
Dog, Luka and Kyrie had 9. It seemed like they had about 7 or 8 in the first quarter.
Seemed like Kyrie had 4 in the first quarter, I think. Something like that.
Yeah, so that, you know, and then that turns into fast break points, and you can't really get your defense set up. And, you know, it just leads to a you know, to poor basketball execution with the turnovers. So they ended up with 15 turnovers. You know, they also fouled a lot, which is why Alexander was going to the free throw line quite a bit. That's because also the Thunder were attacking the bucket.
That's right.
So
when you fouling like that, that means you can't stay in front of your man.
Right, because
yeah.
You know, it's like holding penalties in football.
Yep.
You can't beat your dude, so you got to cheat. And so it's the same thing. You can't move your feet and stay in front of him, so you got to hold him, grab him, get in his way, and that leads to fouls and free throws. So
let me ask you a question. You know,
again.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. I'm sorry. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that when you saying they made Kyrie a facilitator, when you say they, do you mean the Mavericks or do you mean the Clippers?
No, I mean neither one of them. I mean the Thunder.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I'm sorry. The Thunder.
Nah, the Thunder. You know, for a while they were double-teaming Luka. They were double-teaming Kyrie. They want you to give up the rock and make the right basketball play. Because remember like last series, the Mavericks, we were like, why are you running over there to challenge Russell Westbrook? Let that man shoot that ball.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the Mavericks. Who you want shooting? You want Kyrie and Luka shooting? Or you want, you know, P.J. Washington and the rest of that crew shooting?
Yeah, well, there you go. That explains why Gafford got 15 shots and Kyrie had
7. Yeah, they wanted him to shoot.
Yeah, well.
And so I take the ball out. The right basketball play is give the ball up to Gafford, let him operate in the lane, and Gafford was fine.
But the bottom line is,
it wasn't – they want you to do that, so that ain't what you want to do.
I'm going to double back to what you said the other day about Jason Kidd. He has a great game plan, but his in-game adjustments, you know, is not as good. So tonight that kind of came out. Because if your man is getting trapped, if they denying him the ball, you got to make them in-game adjustments, which is surprising for Jason because he was always thinking as a player, you know.
Yeah.
But I guess as a coach it's a little different because I don't know what we learned today. And, you know, what we know, you can only slow down a superstar. Well, Oklahoma City slowed him down, and then no adjustment slowed him down again. So that helped, too. Let's do something different, man. If they trapping both our guys, you know, them guys are good enough to do what they need to do. But I guess they stuck with the game plan. I don't know. It's just
I think that we'll see how they handle it in game two.
Yep.
Playoff basketball, as you know, is literally all about adjustments.
Yep.
And I mean, at a certain point, you know, your guys got to make plays. But until that point, it's about how do you adjust to what they did. The first game is just, hey, here's what we got, what you got. Now the chess match begins, and we'll see if J. Kidd and the Mavericks can make it do what it do. You know, it's game two is not a must win. It's a really like to win. You know, and I think we'll see a much better overall performance from them in game two. But, you know, it's too early to push the panic button. It's one game. They were smoked by the Clippers in a couple games.
Yep.
And managed to rebound. But this is a different beast now. Again, I just want to make sure y'all understand this. The Western Conference of the NBA is where all the bad boys reside. They finished first in the Western Conference. You can't fluke your way to finishing first in the Western Conference. They've held every playoff opponent thus far to fewer than 100 points. They're a really outstanding team. They're the number one seed for a reason. And so for those of you, and there were quite a few folks I heard in the media talking about, oh, yeah, the Mavericks should be able to pull this one off in, you know, 6 or 7. Like it wasn't going to be no big deal. You know, I said on Clapper today, a video I did, that I expected Oklahoma City to win the series. I said, now maybe the Mavericks can surprise me and win it. But what other circumstance in the NBA in the last decade would you pick the number 5 seed to beat the number 1 seed in the West? None. So they got an uphill battle. Doesn't mean they can't climbing. But for those of you who for some reason thought this was going to be easy, you got another thing coming, as my mama used to say. The Thunder are good. They're young. And much like Minnesota, man, they might not believe that they too young to win it, or they don't know that they too young to win it. And the way that they're playing, they got a lot of confidence. And the only way to take their confidence away is you literally got to smack them hard upside the head and make them feel you. And the Mavericks didn't do that today.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not panicking. It's gonna be a long series if we can make it that way. Just gonna test the character of Kyrie and Luka, which they already been tested already. I don't expect to hear no BS coming from them or get down in the dumps or do no stupid stuff. Because like you said, they got whooped by the Clippers, and they didn't flinch. You know what I'm saying? A lot of that stuff on bad teams or teams without good chemistry. You know, guys get to pointing fingers. I think they win together, they lose together. And that's a sign of a good team and good chemistry.
No, you're right. You're right. So, game two is Thursday. So, we'll see how they get down. And that game is in Oklahoma City. It's a would like to win. It's not a must win, but it's a would like to win and certainly need a much better performance to give you hope that you can pull the series out even if you lose game two.
You know, the worst... The one.
And what I'm talking...
Go ahead, I'm sorry, man.
Nah, what I'm talking about is, like, we're about to get to them in a minute. Like, I didn't expect the Stars to win the series when they lost both games at home, but both of those were essentially one-goal games that were well played. They just happened to lose. And so there was some hope that, you know, they have a chance in game three, even though it's in Vegas, as opposed to if they gotten smoked in both games, you'd be like, they really got no chance in game three. So that's what I'm saying. It's imperative that the Mavs play well in game two, regardless of whether they win, just so that they can create some hope and some momentum that coming back to Dallas, they can get it tied back up.
Oh, yeah. Let me go off on an exit right here right quick. Charles Barkley was one of my favorite players, probably my favorite basketball player that wasn't a Maverick growing up. Not Jordan, Charles Barkley, because he's a big guy like myself, stocky guy, and he played basketball. I watched every move. I watched his every move, dog. When at halftime, which I'm going to do like you from now on, stop watching halftime. At halftime, Luka holding the ball, 11 seconds into the shot clock. Fool, you used to back people down from half court. Hold the ball till 22 seconds and don't pass to nobody and shoot that thing. Especially when he was the only star in Philadelphia. You remember him doing that, right? Yeah, I mean, dribble the air out the damn basketball. You won't say that about Luka. If anybody in the NBA besides LeBron James can hold that thing to 11 seconds and usually make the right play, I don't have no problem. It's Luka. You understand? So. That's stupid of him to say that, because, like I say, he was a ball hawk big time, and it wasn't pretty. That's my exit rant right there. He pissed me off.
Glad you got that off your chest.
Well, he pissed me off with that, man. You know, I hate when I mean, you know, I never was no perfect football player, but I hate when people try to criticize some people for what they, you know, and you see they did that stuff all the time. Some of them athletes forget that we had a TV back then. That's all I'm saying.
Not for you. Well, you know, I mean, I just think that in general, and Barkley and that crew is, you know, they're probably the best. But even though they're the best, they still make a lot of, you know, generalizations. And, you know, I don't think that they watch the game. Like, they don't watch the Mavericks as much as they watch the Lakers or as much as they watch some other teams, Boston. And so as much as they know about basketball, because they don't watch them all the time, they act like they're unfamiliar with the way they play and the style that they play, because this is the way the Mavericks play. You know, like Barkley the other day, he was talking about the Mavericks got to pick up the pace. They slow the ball down. They don't move. They're not up-tempo enough, even with Luka, blah, 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 blah. The Mavericks were eighth in the league in pace. So what are you talking about?
What you saying? So when they break, they break. Everybody runs.
Yeah, so
when they're in the half court, that's when they slow. That's when Luka's deliberate. But no, he got his head up once he get the ball.
Right. So, you know, I just like I said, I like the TNT studio, so I listen to them probably more than anybody, but in general, I don't pay much attention to national people because they haven't checked it out as hard as the local people have.
I don't have nothing to say about them till you that egregious. Like, oh, why are you holding the ball? Food, please. That's what I'm saying. Man. Whatever.
But they have a good time, so they
are. They do.
Now let's talk about those Dallas Stars who got off to a rip-roaring start against the high-flying Colorado Avalanche. Scored 3 goals in the first period, up 3-0. And I know Colorado has got the most explosive offense in the league. They scored 304 goals this year. And so, I didn't think it was over. Even though, man, I forget the young one, the woman's name who did the halftime show. I'm sorry, who did the intermission show after the first period. She asked Wyatt Johnson, who had scored the Stars' second goal. I'm paraphrasing here. She says, "You guys are up 3-0 against Colorado. Did you think it was going to be this easy?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And Wyatt Johnson had the perfect answer. He said, "It's the first period of what's probably going to be a six or seven game series against a great team. So no, we just happen to have a lead right now." But the fact that you thought it was easy or that 3 goals was going to be enough against the highest scoring offense, I don't know, bro. I was a little taken aback by that. But the Stars went up 3-0, controlled the play, looked very dominant. And then, dog, Colorado got a power play goal to make it 3-1.
Hold up.
What?
I got a question for you. How does that work? When you do the side, have you ever done any sideline reporting at all?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So I don't mean to go off. I don't mean to get on the X again, but I'm interested to ask you because you got that experience.
Damn.
Colorado,
hold up. Colorado just scored in overtime, and they have rallied from a 3-0 deficit to win 4-3.
Damn.
Dude got the The Stars have been buzzing the whole overtime. I think they had outshot them like 6 or 7-1 or 6 or 7-0. And it wasn't a clean breakaway, but the dude got the puck outside on the end. It was kind of like it was a quick turnover. He got a quick pass and he beat Heskinen, and he got in front of Heskinen and swooped in. Outskated Heskin into the front of the net, swooped in and put a backhander past Ottinger on a glove side. I mean, it's a hell of a play by number 28, what's his name, Hood. And Colorado is Wood. Colorado rallies from 3-0 to beat the Stars at the crib. That, my friends, is a devastating loss. And Colorado celebrating like they won the cup. I mean, they celebrate like they won the cup right here. But to come back from 3-0 right there, bro, that's on the road. Woo! That's a tough loss for the Stars, man. Tough loss.
Damn.
I was going to say, because what happened is, and we're going to get back to your question about your first period interview.
Sure.
But It was 3-1. They got the power play goal, and it's like that took the lid off the offense. And then they popped it and made it 3-2. And then, just like the Stars did against Las Vegas the other day, a minute into the third period, they tied it up. And so then it became, and they pretty much dominated the third period. They just didn't score. Then the Stars kind of regrouped it going into overtime, and the Stars had dominated the overtime. They'd been buzzing. They had shots on goal. They were in control. And then this is the beauty of hockey, man. It was like, boop, 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 and it was over. Dude made a phenomenal play, man, because, you know, Miro Heiskanen is one of the best defensemen in the league. Clearly, he's one of the stars, one or two best players. And that dude just outskated him and swooped in front of him and put the backhand in. It was, you know, when it happens like that, you can't say nothing when they beat your best player to the net and put the backhand in. There's really nothing you can say other than tip your proverbial hat to the dude and see if they can come out and take care of game two.
Sometimes you down like that, 3-0, 21-0, 35-0, you just go, you know what, F it. What we got to lose?
Right, right.
Let's just, you know, pull out all the stops. You know, you keep giving some effort, then that lady called momentum. She fickle, man. You know, she might like you, she might not like you. When she like you, it's all good. You know, just little, you know, just, and then when you're on the other side where the momentum is not on your side, little things start to happen. People start pressing and people start doing little stuff to, you know, doing little mistakes to let stuff happen. It's just like, yeah.
Colorado earned all their goals.
Yeah.
It wasn't like some soft goals or some poor play. I mean, they are. I mean, against Winnipeg, which had the best defense in the league, had allowed the fewest goals, they scored 6-5-6-5-6. So, you know, they've been putting the puck in the net now. Now, I ain't going to lie to y'all. 3-0, I thought the Stars would win. But once they scored, they made it 3-2 so quickly, I was like, I mean, you know, it was 3-2 midway through the second period. That's like, I mean, I just don't think 3 is going to be enough. They're going to have to get another one. And they tried, but they came up short. And now they got to regroup and see if they can come out and get a win after a very, very, very tough loss. And it'll be interesting to see how they play because, like, you can lose a tough game in baseball. And if you got Justin Verlander or Jacob DeGrom or somebody else pitching the next day, yeah, I'm good. I'm cool. We good. Because you just, you know, momentum is the next day's pitcher, as they say. But in this situation where you got to go against the same team and the same goalie, momentum can carry a little bit. So we'll see what happens with the Stars. But Miles Wood, with a phenomenal goal, gives Colorado – he's snaggletooth too, though. Gives Colorado a
– old school.
A 4-3 win. I mean, the beauty of this goal was that the Stars had been pressing and had almost scored. And the defenseman flipped it to him at center ice, and he just out-sprinted Heiskanen to the down the side. I don't want to call it the sideline. Down the right, down the left side, and then swooped in front of the net, put the backhand in. So tough night for DFW Sports, dog. Tough, tough night. But because we love y'all, we decided to stay up and bring you the latest. And on that note, Doc, since we got two losses tonight, I'm ready to take my ass to bed.
All right. Well, all right.
Unless you got some more you want to add on the hockey game.
No, I was just asking you about the interview.
Oh, yeah. What about it?
Do you come up with your own questions, or are you prompted to ask certain questions? That's what my question.
I don't know how. I would say you probably come up with your own questions.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I did some sideline reporting. I would not compare what I did at DeSoto High School football,
right,
with the NHL playoffs,
right.
But that being said, I would say she probably came up with her own questions, and she probably didn't mean it to be as flipping as it sounded.
Yeah.
But if you were playing a different kind of team, like if you're playing Las Vegas and you're up 3-0, it's a different feel than if you're playing Colorado up 3-0. You know, because their offense is so explosive.
Right.
They're just not a team. Even at 3-0, now 4-0, you probably feel like, okay, this is a wrap. But at 3-0, you're just not quite ahead enough to be like, okay, this thing is over.
Yeah. Colorado, they probably got the Jacques Taylor cheat code. That's probably what they got.
You know, it's too late to be bringing that up, though.
All right.
But we was playing EA hockey back in the early, in the mid-90s.
That's right.
And I discovered by accident that if you took a slap shot from the top of the blue line at a certain spot on the blue line, it would, it was like a glitch. It's, you could score.
In, it's going in.
And the first couple of times I discovered that, I used it sparingly to either get back in a game or pull out a one-goal win or something like that. And then, like many criminals, I got greedy.
Hell, I think
one
I
day
was,
I banged I was, in about four or five up.
I think I was in, up 2-0, and I was checking. I was checking everybody, running everybody in the boards on that game. Next thing you know, it's 5-2.
With a bunch of slap shots.
Yeah, like, damn, from way back. I'm like, man, what's going on? You had your little grin and shit. I'm like, yeah, we done with hockey. We ain't playing shit no more.
I don't think we played anymore after that.
No, hell.
Because I couldn't have resisted doing it from time to time. Now, maybe it runs in the Taylor family as we get off topic now. Because I remember my brother, y'all was playing college basketball.
Yeah.
And he found some free throw cheat code where he did something.
He found a pump fake. Yeah, Chad, if you listening with your cheating ass, you found a pump fake where he pump fake real good, and you jump and get him a foul. So he kept getting a bunch of free throws, and he thought that was cute. And that was the day that I met him. I wanted to beat him up, but he was little.
Right. Mm-hmm. Those were the good old days.
Yes, sir. We had time to go to each other's house and play video games. Boy, life is different, ain't it? Yeah. You go.
Damn show is. No cap about that. Well, we have run out of time tonight. It's close to midnight. It's 12:02.
I'm waiting now.
Oh, no. Well, I'm not. And I'm supposed to be at the gym at 4:30.
Hey, man.
So we'll see if I make it.
I had like two or three of them yellow Oreos while we was talking, so I'm up now.
Oh, you good? I'm glad you're good.
Yeah.
I'm going to be sleeping in about 10 minutes.
Roger that.
But we appreciate y'all. Appreciate Big Joe and the Big Red for hanging out. See, I'm starting to stutter my words now. Hanging out and staying up late. Remember to follow the show on YouTube at The Real Jacques Talk. You can follow us on IG at The Real Jacques Talk. You can follow me on Twitter or X at JJT Journalist. I am Jean-Jacques Taylor's the handle. And my new spot, Clapper, which got a format kind of like TikTok. I'm on there. I do a lot of videos, at least one a day, usually on the Cowboys, but I've been riffing on the Mavericks lately. So check it out. Download the app. Follow me over there at Clapper. So for Big Joe and the Big Rig, until we chat again, you guys be blessed.